What I'd like to do now is identify one of the challenges and one of the biggest problems about our industry is that most people only ask the question, do you want to get involved or do you want to get started with our company once? And it takes about 5 to 15 times for the average distributor to sign somebody up. When I say times, I mean it takes about 5 to 15 exposures of your business to get somebody to say yes. And there's so many people out there that, and I've done it many times myself, we call them the one contact wonder. They call somebody up all excited and they say, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested. And they send them out a video about your company or maybe an audio or send them to the website. And that's the last time that that person ever hears from you in their entire life. And why do we do that? Probably because it's easier to make that first phone call than it is the next. But the concept that we're going to talk about now is exposure is everything. So first, let's talk about it. What is an exposure? An exposure is any contact or communication about your business, product, or service. Let's say that again. An exposure is any contact or communication about your business, product, or service. Let's take two different scenarios. The first, and many people can relate to this, maybe you are meeting, your weekly presentation is on a Tuesday night. It's Monday, you realize you don't have anybody lined up, and there's a great speaker coming into town, so you make 10 phone calls. Maybe you get 6 or 7 people on the phone. They all say, I'll try to make it, or I'll see if I can make it, and nobody shows up. And you think to yourself, this business is very frustrating, or maybe people just don't like meetings, or maybe I'm not good at inviting people to meetings, or whatever it is, you feel like you failed in that situation. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is you realize that it's an exposure game. So maybe your first exposure when you're picking up the phone goes something like this. It's an initial contact, and say I'm talking to Mike. I just leave Mike a message on his voicemail. Exposure number two would be him calling back, and we set an appointment for a one-on-one. So in this example, exposure number three would be as soon as we get off the phone, I follow up with Mike by sending him a link to the website. Maybe I give him the phone number to a sizzle call, which is simply a 3 to 5 minute overview on your opportunity or your company. Or I might fax him some information on the company. What I do is really irrelevant to the fact that it's exposure number three. Exposure number four is I call and confirm our one-on-one appointment. And a lot of people never confirm the appointment because they might be scared that the person on the other end will try to cancel the appointment. Believe me, you want to have the courage to confirm your appointments. It's going to help you in the long run. So exposure number four is I've confirmed the appointment. So now I have 4 exposures to my business. The 5th exposure would be when we meet, let's say, for coffee. And I do a presentation, a 10, 15-minute presentation with my brochure. Maybe I have a company flip chart that I use. Whatever it is, I'm sitting down with the person for a very short amount of time, and this is the 5th exposure to the business. The 6th exposure might be a 3-way phone call with the person that's going to be speaking that night or one of the local experts or with somebody in our business. And it might be something like this. I'd say, I call Mike back and say, Mike, I'm really excited about us having coffee yesterday. It seemed like you've got a lot of interest in our business. I'm excited that you're coming to the meeting tonight. What I'd like to do first is I was just talking to the person that got me involved, and this person's so neat. It's just one of those people that I feel like I've known for a lifetime. We have a lot of the same goals. And when I told them about you, they said, hey, get them on the phone. And so if it's okay, I've got them on the other line. And so I link them together, and I have a conversation with Mike and my sponsor. And what my sponsor's really doing is just ensuring that Mike is going to come to the presentation. They might say things like, hey, Mike, I'm really looking forward to meet you, or hey, Mike, hey, maybe we could grab a bite to eat, or maybe we could get a beverage after the meeting, whatever it is. But think about it. We've already had 6 exposures in a very short period of time. The 7th exposure will be when you pick them up in your car for the meeting, which is always the best case scenario. Now, during that 7th exposure, you might want to stick in an audio, in your car so the person can listen to another exposure on your way. Now, again, this might be a little bit too much information for the person. You might just want to spend that time building rapport, but you might want to say, hey, I just got these in from the company. I haven't listened to it myself, or this is a very powerful way that we tell other people about the business. Why don't you give it a listen? So exposure number 8 would be when they actually show up at the opportunity meeting and take a look at the meeting. Now, something very interesting happens. Let's go back to the first scenario where you invited, 7 or 8 people and nobody showed up. But let's say one did show up and they showed up, but they really didn't know what they were coming to because it was only their second exposure. Your phone call was the first exposure. The meeting was the second exposure. So they're sitting, and you've probably seen people like this at the meetings before. They're sitting with their arms crossed. They really don't know what they're about to be sold. They don't know how long this is going to last, and they can't really wait to get home, to get out of there. But in the second scenario, you've got somebody that's already taken a look at pretty much everything. And as the speaker is sharing facts about the company, about the product, about the timing, about the compensation, they're nodding along because they've already seen this information 2, 3, 4 times already. And not only are they not have their arms crossed, but they're thinking in their head of who else that they could get involved. And so that's sort of the difference between different scenarios. Number one is you're just inviting to that meeting. And number two, if you want to have more people show up, if you want to have a positive reaction, more people have a positive reaction when they do show up, then you will understand the exposure process. Another thing that you want to remember is that 80% of your training is done by the way you recruited. Well, what does that mean? It means that you are going to tend to do to your prospects the exact same things that were done to you. Now, if I just called Mike up and I called him up every single Monday, invited him to the Tuesday meeting, and he finally showed up 3 or 4 months later, he's going to tend to have that behavior. But if, on the other hand, the way that I expose Mike in scenario number 2 is, you meet for coffee first, or you send him a link to their website, and you have little exposures. We like to call it success compression. It's putting a lot of activities in a short amount of time. And of course, your prospect has to agree to take these exposures, and you have to be friendly along the way. But as long as your prospect agrees to this communication, it's great for you. So 80% of your training is done by the way that you were recruited. Your new associates will do not what you tell them to do, but how they were recruited and what you did to them. Your goal is to expose your prospects as many times in a short period of time as possible. Now, you might do it over 3 days, or you might do it over 3 years. The big thing that you want to learn here is don't burn any bridges along the way. Another thing that you might have noticed here is that I used the stair-step approach, okay? I started with a little exposure. I just picked up the phone and set an appointment for a one-on-one. That's not very intimidating. I'm not asking them to go to a national convention with 2,000 people. I'm not asking them to go to the weekly meeting with a couple of 100 people. I'm simply saying, hey, I ran across something I think you might be interested in. I'm not sure. It looks good for me. Can we meet for coffee? So I'm stair-stepping them, right? Then I send them a link to my website. So every exposure tells a little bit more about the information so they can put the pieces of the puzzle together. We call that the stair-step approach. Another concept that you're going to hear a lot is third-party validation. Now, what the heck does that mean, third-party validation? Let's start with the basics. What is third-party? It's anything but you. It could be your website. It could be an audio. It could be a video. It could be a book. It could be a third-party expert. It could be your upline. It could just be a local person. It could be a meeting. It could be a home meeting. Whatever it is, it's a tool to expose your business. Okay. Now, why is it so important that you take on this concept of third-party validation? For a few different reasons. Number one is your prospects tend to know you. And so if you're involved all of a sudden, say in a vitamin company, and they know you as someone who's never really taken their health seriously for years, they don't really see you as a health expert or whatever it is you can imagine with your own company. If all of a sudden you're trying to come in and act like an expert in a given area, the people that know you best will not necessarily tend to believe you. But if you can point at something else, whether it's a video, whether it's somebody else, and have them tell their story, you're going to have a lot more success. Another reason is that it's a lot more duplicatable. And what the heck does duplicatable mean? It just means that when I do something, if Mike was here and I did a presentation for Mike, duplicatable would mean that Mike could do a presentation tomorrow whether I was there or not. For instance, if I do a 1-hour presentation for Mike and I don't use any company literature, I just talk to him, could Mike do that tomorrow? The answer for the average person is no. Now, if I shared a video or an audio or a book with Mike and just gave it to him and told some stories and showed him my favorite parts, would that be duplicatable? And the answer is yes. So if you want a business that will go from level to level to level, which simply means from recruit to recruit to recruit to recruit, whether it's 5 states away and 50 levels down, if you can do that, you will have what we call duplicatability. Let the tools do the work for you. Now, when you're out there talking to somebody about your business, they're generally going to have 3 questions. Number one is, can I do this? Number two is, do I want to do this to my friends, family, business associates? And number three is, do I have time to do this? Now, the first question, can I do this? If you're using the tools and you're showing them a system where you're not taking up a lot of their time, where you're calling them on a 5-minute phone call, not a 45-minute phone call, where you're sharing a tool rather than doing a 1-hour presentation, that should answer, can I do this? Now, if you're pushy, if you're acting like a salesperson, if you're hard closing people, if you're making people feel uncomfortable, the answer to do I want to do this to my friends, family, and associates for them has got to be no. So again, you have to approach people the same way that you would want to be approached. Number three, do I have time to do this? Again, if you're spending a long amount of time exposing somebody to your business, they are going to have to honestly answer themselves that they do not have time to do this. But if they can look back and look at the way that you recruited them, in this example that we used before, an initial contact of 5 minutes, we set an appointment, a link to the website, which takes almost no time at all. We met for coffee, which is 15 minutes. I did a 5-minute 3-way phone call with the sponsor. I picked them up on the way to the meeting. I can honestly tell them that I do this business 10 to 12 hours a week. Remember that exposing is a process over time. Now, what I want to do is I want to always make sure that my prospects are comfortable during that process. At the same time, when I think they're ready, I'm going to ask them if they're ready to join me in my venture. And a question might be like this. Based on everything that you've seen so far, are you ready to make a decision about joining the business? Based on everything that you've seen so far, would this be a good time for you to get started with us? And one thing that I really want you to understand is that you never, ever, 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 ever want to argue with somebody that you are prospecting. Ever, never, ever, 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 ever argue with anybody, as long as we're clear on that point. In Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he shares a concept with us. It's a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. Now let's look at that. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So even if they say they agree with you, deep down they're mad that you made them change their mind and they really don't agree with you. Here are a few ideas to practice. When someone says, hey, I'm not interested, or I don't have the time, or I don't think this is for me, or whatever they're sharing with you, I always like to use feel, felt, found. And you might have heard this concept before. And if the person that you're sharing with it has heard it before, you might want to change the words around a little bit. You might want to say, hey, I know how you feel. Or instead of saying feel, I understand where you're coming from. I had similar concerns when I first took a look at it. But what I realized over time was this. And the whole strategy here is you want to get on common ground and you want to have them see it the way that you see it. They're not wrong. The way that they see it is the way that they see it, and the way that you see it is the way that you see it. What you want to do is you want to get on common ground. Another one that I like to use is, hey, I'm sure glad you said that. If somebody says, hey, I don't have the time, I might say, hey, I'm sure glad you said that. I didn't think I had the time either when I first took a look at this. But the biggest thing is never, ever, ever argue with a prospect. When Mike and I first started in this business, we had this young lady that was working with us, and she was quite a hoot. She would do a great job of getting people over to her house or out to the meetings to take a look at the opportunity. And she just did a great job of that because I think she was just so darn persistent. But at the end of every meeting, she did the exact same thing. As soon as the prospect had a question, a concern, or maybe even a thought that didn't agree with us, she said, you just don't understand. And that was the first word out of their mouth. In fact, she would wait until they said their last word, and I don't even really think she was listening. She just wanted to be right in that situation. If you want to be right, you might not be in the right business, okay? If you want to make money, what you want to do is you want to get on common ground with your associates. Here's another thing to think about is the people that you want, or at least that I want most of my business, are people with passion, passionate people. The thing about passionate people is they're passionate about the way that they think or the way that they feel. But I'm going to tell you, if you can maintain a relationship and not argue and not make them wrong, over time, those passionate people, if you can turn them around slowly, one day they could be passionate about your ideas. They could be passionate about your opportunity. They could be passionate about your company and your product. So think about that. Who are the most passionate people that you know? What if they all of a sudden agreed with you? What if they were all of a sudden on your side? So in my opinion, having passionate people on your team is the way to go. Another thing that I want to throw out there is, instead of being so worried about how to overcome objections, is try to answer people's objections in your presentation. For instance, when I'm doing a presentation in front of the room, I might say things like, you know, at the end of the meeting, a lot of people's biggest concern is that they're so busy. Well, what I want to show you in 5 minutes is how you can share this product with other people in a very comfortable manner, which, you know, if you did this a few times a week, here's how much money that you can make. But if their objection is, hey, I don't have time to do this, I want to answer that objection during my presentation. One thing that I want to make very clear to you is that when somebody has an objection, in most cases, it's that exact objection which is the reason that they should be doing the business. For instance, if somebody says, I don't have any time, I know exactly how you feel. I felt the same way. What I found, though, is that after working this business for about a year part-time and then moving over to full-time status, I've been able to replace almost a non-existent income with a very substantial six-figure income. So whatever their reason is for not wanting to do the business, I believe you can turn it around to, and that's the exact reason that they should be doing the business. Your job is to help them understand that and to be able to identify that. Another thing to consider is that if you're getting the same reaction from all of your prospects, it's probably something that you're doing. If you're getting different reactions, then it's just something that you have to handle one-on-one. But if it's something that you're doing, it's good because then you could go to work on that. For instance, I get a lot of people that say, you know, they get a lot of, hey, is this one of those pyramid things? Or, you know, this seems like one of those things where you just got to sign up everybody you know, and you only make money if you sign other people up. If you're having those kind of reactions, then you've got a problem in the way that you're presenting it, or you yourself have a problem with one of those pyramid things. You definitely have your own issue with that. But the way that I present the business is I personally almost never get those reactions.